Jesus Christ has always had his critics. Someone has called them crickets, adding that they simply sit in the dark and make a lot of noise. Well, in a sense, this is true, because they don't in any way hinder the authority and power of the Son of God. After the adulterous woman was forgiven, Christ resumed his teaching in the temple by saying in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." It would seem that the sunlight was shining brightly upon those who were standing in the presence of Christ. As our Lord did frequently, he spoke in terms that people could understand easily by using objects that were familiar to all. What the sun was to the earth, the Son of God is to sinners. As the sun illuminates the world, banishing darkness, so the Son of God illuminates the minds and hearts of people, banishing the darkness of sin. Followeth, as used in verse 12, means to believe. Even more, it means to walk in God's chosen paths. There are some who say they believe on Christ, but they walk contrary to their belief. One who sincerely believes on Christ as the light of the world will walk in the light as Christ is in the light. There are two things we must do with the gospel of Christ. First, we must believe it, and secondly, we must behave it. If a man is soundly converted, he will not only believe in his heart, but follow the Lord with his feet. As the sheep follow the shepherd, the servant the master, the soldier his commanding officer, so the believer should follow Christ in everything. If salvation were merely belief on our part, we would be as helpless to abstain from sin after conversion as we were before. But God gives the believer the light of life. There is a close affinity between light and life. Christ, who is the light of the world, imparts his life to enable us to follow in his steps. Upon hearing our Lord's declaration, the Pharisees in his audience offered some resistance. Notice verse 13. "Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true." Without grounds for their accusations, they alleged that Christ was an unfaithful and untrustworthy witness. But our Lord had a ready reply for the censure of the Pharisees. Verse 14, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go." These blinded Pharisees were ignorant of Old Testament prophecies and rebellious to the truth. The Lord Jesus knew that he had come from the glory of heaven to be born of a virgin, to live and die, and to be raised again, to return to the presence of his Father. The Pharisees did not know this, nor did they want to know. Christ went on to say in verse 15, "Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man." The Pharisees were known for their harsh and stern judgment. This, our Lord says, was because of their carnal natures. They judged merely out of appearances without any love or concern for the ones being judged. Doubtless our Lord was referring to the incident that had just taken place when the scribes and Pharisees brought the woman that had been taken in the act of adultery. Christ's judgment was not like the Pharisees, for his was judgment based upon the knowledge of God. It was not selfish or cruel, but thoughtful and kind. His present ministry was not one of judgment. At his second coming, he would come as a judge, but presently, we read in John 3:17, "God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He came to be the Savior, though he would come again to be the judge. Christ also reminded the Pharisees that if it were necessary for him to proffer judgment, this was his prerogative. Verse 16, "And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me." If Jesus were to judge, it would not be erroneous or false judgment, for in all things he worked in perfect harmony with the mind of the Father. Previously he had declared, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." There was never a thought nor an act on the part of the Lord Jesus that was not in perfect agreement with the will of his Father. The Lord Jesus reminded his hearers of an important fact in the law with which they were familiar. Verse 17, "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true." He spoke of the law as your law. This was not to suggest that he did not obey it, for he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Christ said this because the Pharisees professed to be authorities in the law of God. "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true." He continued by saying, "I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." Thus Christ fulfilled the law perfectly, you see, in that there were two witnessing to the truth, the Father and the Son. The undiscerning Pharisees did not understand. Thus, with scorn and bitterness, they cried out, "Where is thy Father?" Christ replied, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." Now this was a sharp rebuke to the Pharisees, who had boasted of their knowledge of God and professed to be authorities on God. Christ revealed that with all of their boasted intelligence and learning, they had no knowledge of God whatsoever. Was this not a strange accusation? Not when you consider there can be no true knowledge of God the Father unless one has come first of all to God the Son. This is the great fact Christ presented to the Pharisees. "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." Now there are thousands who are like the Pharisees. They speak of God. Many even pray to God. They may know of him, but as a far-off majesty who brought the world into existence, but they know nothing of him as the Redeemer, the Provider, the Guide, the Keeper, and the many other wonderful things he is to all those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his Son. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. You see, they wanted to kill Christ. They were incensed by what Christ had said. But again, they were divinely restrained and unable to touch the Son of God. How assuring it is to know that God's merciful hand protects his own at all times. And he protects you, he protects me, as we know him as Lord of all. Friend, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Have you welcomed him into your life? If you haven't, this is where all the promises of God become reality for you. Only as you know Christ can you claim the wonderful promises he has made for his constant and faithful care and provision. I hope you trust him right now if you never have. Blessed Lord, we praise you for Jesus. We thank you that he gave himself for our sins and that he lives today and that he's coming back again. Oh, Father, may some claim him as their very own right now and enter into the joy of eternal salvation. For I pray for his glory and in his blessed name, amen.